last night and this morning, I've also have been asked frequently, is it difficult to defend PNAC? And my response is no, because their documents are so clear and their logic is so clear and their agenda is so cohesive. But it is becoming increasingly difficult as so many elements are thrown into describing what the neoconservative agenda is, from Jerry Falwell to the John Birch Society to the military-industrial complex, the IMF to Vietnam to DuPont to the police state. Fortunately, though, I'm having some, I think both of us would agree, we're having some assistance from the prosecution, and we appreciate that. I have a couple of questions. You mentioned, I'll list the questions. You mentioned counterterrorism, that the administration before 9/11, as I understood it, ignored counterterrorism issues and focused on military-industrial complex issues. What would you have done different? What kind of counterterrorism agenda would be appropriate for the United States? You mentioned extremism and the rules of the game, implying in the context that you paint that there are extremist groups that we're talking about. What are these extremist groups associated with PNAC and the neoconservatives, and how are they playing outside of the rules of the game? It's my impression that indeed they are very sophisticated players of the rules of the game. And thirdly, the question of the context. I think it's important to frame things within the proper context, but that the context cannot be so broad as to destroy the meaning of the terms. Neoconservatives has a particular meaning, a particular origin. It does not arise from the tradition of conservatism in the United States. It arises from the tradition of socialism and progressive tradition in the United States, and only intersect it with conservatives, that they are not one and the same, neoconservatives and neo-right. And that speaks to another point that you raise in a question. Why do you consider the neoconservatives to be contrary opponents of civil rights? Indeed, the neoconservatives, because of their traditions, both as ethnic minorities, religious minorities, have been largely proponents of civil rights historically.
Yes. Regarding the first issue, it's, I think, important to take into account the fact that the Bush administration did not put attention to these threats. I mean, Mr. Clark has made it very clear about it. And what I'm pointing out differently, a little bit differently here, that there was a systematic attempt of underfunding and understaffing counter-terrorist efforts within the United States. After all, you had an attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. You had already had an attack on the coal ship, USS ship. You had attacks on U.S. embassies in Africa, and the intelligence community made some warnings about problems within the United States, that just some of the documents came out finally in the last two or days or weeks in the United States. So probably, if you ask what you have done differently, I would have put much more attention to this issue because of what had happened before. But when a proposal was made to increase the budget for anti-terrorist activities to Rumsfeld, he claimed that the national defense, anti-ballistic defense system require more attention and funding. And when the Attorney General was asked by the FBI prior to 9/11 to increase the personnel, anti-terrorist personnel, he flatly denied it, the budgeting and the authorization to increase.
My point is, yes, not, we're talking about an intellectual framework, a foreign policy agenda. We're not talking about budgetary issues. That PNAC is being accused of having an aggressive agenda that contravenes international law. What would be, with the proper budget that you it seems to be that you think that should have been designated, what should have been done with that budget and to prevent the kind of attacks that we have seen in the 90s and in the World Trade Center and in the future?
Well, that's precisely all the act. If I understand you correctly, is what would you have done?
Would you have done?
Well,
yes.
you would have, first of all, put more resources into the prevention of this type of things. Put more attention to it.
Guns but on planes, or what?
What bothers me is how functional that underfunding and that under personal, lack of personal position, how functional it was to strengthening the political position of the Bush administration after, because after September 11, then you had the whole counterterrorism, and you had, like, let's say, like a political revival of a president who barely, if we are very favorable on this perspective, that barely made it in the elections, if not usurped the election. His legitimacy, he just barely won the election, and after 9/11 he consolidated his position. So that would be one. And the question on extremism, I'm referring very much here to the extremism of neoconservatives in power, like the extremism of the Bush administration regarding Patriot Act in the first version and Patriot Act in the second version. I think that's very extremist in terms of civil rights.
I can understand that. That was not the context that I heard. It was in the context of John Birch Society, the right wing traditionally in the United States that operates outside of the rules of the game, political actors, not the government.
Yes. But this is, you asked me about the extremisms of the new right in power. That's what I understood.
Out of power.
Then out of power also, you have very long experience on that in the United States with the formation up to very recently paramilitary units, right-wing paramilitary units, they say, to take over the power from the liberals or whatever.
But the neoconservatives is the agenda.
I'd like to ask you not to go too far in this discussion and to come back to the questions.
Well, and then the other question on the context, yes, is a broad context. You have to have a broad context to deal with this phenomenon. You have to locate it historically, otherwise you are lost. You have to put it in the framework of the development of classical modern conservatism in the United States and contrast it with the new right. I think there's a big difference of the new right in the United States and the classical modern conservatism of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. Lauber.